and bats. But all the same, it will outlast the God-King and all his temples, and all the kings that ever come after him. It was there before them, and when they're all gone, it will still be there. It is the center of things.
It is the center of things.
There are riches there. Thar tells me about them sometimes. Enough to fill the God-King's temple 10 times over. Gold and trophies given ages ago, 100 generations, who knows how long. They're all locked away in the pits and vaults underground. They won't take me there yet. They keep me waiting and waiting. But I know what it's like. There are rooms underneath the hall, underneath the whole place, under where we stand now. There's a great maze of tunnels, a labyrinth. It's like a great dark city under the hill, full of gold and the swords of old heroes and old crowns and bones and years and silence. She spoke as if in trance, in rapture. Manon watched her. His slabby face never expressed much but stolid, careful sadness. It was sadder than usual now.
"Well, and you're mistress of all that," he said. "The silence and the dark."
"I am. But they won't show me anything. Only the rooms above ground, behind the throne. They haven't even shown me the entrances to the places underground. They just mumble about them sometimes. They're keeping my own domain from me. Why do they make me wait and wait?"
"You are young."
"And perhaps," Manon said in his husky alto,
"perhaps they're afraid, little one.
It's not their domain, after all. It's yours.
They are in danger when they enter there. There's no mortal that doesn't fear the nameless ones."
Arha said nothing, but her eyes flashed. Again, Manon had shown her a new way of seeing things. So formidable, so cold, so strong had Thar and Kossil always seemed to her that she had never even imagined their being afraid. Yet Manon was right. They feared those places, those powers of which Arha was part, to which she belonged. They were afraid to go into the dark places, lest they be eaten. Now, as she went with Kossil down the steps of the small house and up the steep winding path towards the Hall of the Throne, she recalled that conversation with Manon and exulted again. No matter where they took her, what they showed her, she would not be afraid. She would know her way. A little behind her on the path, Kossil spoke. "One of my mistress's duties, as she knows, is the sacrifice of certain prisoners, criminals of noble birth who by sacrilege or treason have sinned against our lord, the God-King."
"Or against the nameless ones," said Arha.
"Truly. Now it is not fitting that the Eaten One, while yet a child, should undertake this duty. But my mistress is no longer a child. There are prisoners in the Room of Chains, sent a month ago by the grace of our lord the God-King from his city Awabath."
"I did not know prisoners had come. Why did I not know?"
"Prisoners are brought by night and secretly, in the way prescribed of old in the rituals of the tombs. It is the secret way my mistress will follow if she takes the path that leads along the wall."
Arha turned off the path to follow the great wall of stone that bounded the tombs behind the domed hall. The rocks it was built of were massive. The least of them would outweigh a man, and the largest were big as wagons. Though unshapen, they were carefully fitted and interlocked. Yet in places the height of the wall had slipped down, and the rocks lay in a shapeless heap.
Only a vast span of time could do that. The desert centuries of fiery days and frozen nights. The millennial, imperceptible movements of the hills themselves.
It is very easy to climb the tomb wall, Arha said as they went along beneath it.
We have not men enough to rebuild it,
Kossel replied.
We have men enough to guard it.
Only slaves. They cannot be trusted.
They can be trusted if they're frightened. Let the penalty be the same for them as for the stranger they allow to set foot on the holy ground within the wall.
What is that penalty?
Kossel did not ask to learn the answer. She had taught the answer to Arha long ago.
To be decapitated before the throne?
Is it my mistress's will that a guard be set upon the tomb wall?
It is, the girl answered.
Inside her long black sleeves, her fingers clenched with elation. She knew Kossel did not want to spare a slave to this duty of watching the wall, and indeed it was a useless duty, for what strangers ever came here? It was not likely that any man would wander, by mischance or intent, anywhere within a mile of the place without being seen. He certainly would get nowhere near the tombs. But a guard was an honor due them, and Kossel could not well argue against it. She must obey Arha.
Here, said her cold voice.
Arha stopped. She had often walked this path around the tomb wall, and knew it.